Hey, it's Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana.
And you are listening to Riggle's Picks.
Yeah, and a ham horn, and we have a new podcast. You can find our show exclusively on the Podcast One app on podcastonesports.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Every Thursday, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about the things that really excite us, like life, comedy, sports, a lot of sports.
Ourselves.
A lot of Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you join us.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how.
Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in to Ace on the House.
Yes, sir.
Stromer's
yes!
over there.
I want to know the origin of the got to get it on. It flows almost like you're, you know, busting rhymes.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing I have learned. I have learned that the beginning and the end is kind of difficult. And one of the hardest things to do, I always found in radio, when I first started doing radio, people have no idea. I was just talking to somebody about this. I was talking to Matt DeAndrea from CarCast about this. They don't appreciate reps, repetition.
Right.
They don't appreciate reps because reps are invisible.
Right.
So they appreciate like degrees and black belts and other things you can kind of measure.
Yeah,
you
tangible
know what
I mean? Things.
What is your 40 time?
Right.
How many times? What can you bench press?
Yeah.
You know, or what college did you go to? Or what degree did you get from that college?
Right.
You know, we do those kinds of things, but we don't. New York Times bestselling author. You know, we have like titles.
Sure.
Reps are invisible.
So reps meaning process.
Process and just literally like seat time.
Yeah.
If in the airplane of life.
Ooh.
Powerful.
Oh, wow.
And
jeez.
They're really, now, they're the only thing, not the only thing, but it's impossible to be coached up on reps. You simply need reps. There cannot be anyone who goes, I've done this 1,000 times. You've done it twice.
So like the Gladwell thing, right? Where
yes,
it's time
the 10,000 hours.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I can't go, let me lend you I'll lend you 1,000 of my reps.
Right.
You can have that.
And then from there, I'd be able to go, God, get it on. Get it on. And then have it.
So
that's interesting.
I remember very early on when I just got started in radio, they gave me a Saturday morning show at K-Rock. I would do Mr. Bertram's show like 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. or I don't know, probably says something about my construct that it was kind of my first radio show.
Right.
And if you put a gun to my head and said, did it start at 8, 9, or 10, I'd go,
I don't know.
I remember it was Saturday.
Morning.
And then you go, when was your first show? And I'd go, I don't know. Ask Jimmy, I'd say. And then they'd go, how long did you do it for? And I'd go, ask Drew. He used to listen. Like, I have a vague recollection of it, but
sure.
It was a morning show, and I was every bit as funny as I am or was, and I was funny. I had no seat time and, like, no reps.
Right.
And
so it gets so the funny gets lost on the technique not being there from the hours in.
You could do the funny if you hosted the show and then asked me questions and then I could be funny, but it was hard to be funny
and lead it.
And host.
Oh.
And I could remember even doing man on the street bits way back then. Like I didn't know how to talk to people. I couldn't get it started. It was hard to, and I would watch like Bean of Kevin and Bean, and he was so masterful at it.
Yeah.
And Kevin was good too, but Bean was really the radio guy. You know, he would sort of lead the interviews and come back from breaks and stuff like that. And it's so weird, but the problem is there's nothing you can do except for go on the air and not be very good at it for a considerable period of time.
Yeah, and get lucky and
then,
still continue.
And hopefully hang out. And then at some point,
yeah,
you can kind of do it in your sleep.
Right.
And I quickly kind of realized that the hardest part is when they just point at you and you go, hey, hi, hello.
Yeah.
And then you always make some stupid comment, like to the engineer, like, I can't hear myself.
Right.
Oh, we're on.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tim's giving me thumbs. Oh, you don't know who Tim is.
Yeah.
Tim's our engineer. Well, he's giving me a thumbs right. up. Okay.
Awkward pause.
And there's like weird talk off the air to nobody. Yeah. All right. So we are hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, all right. Well, hello and welcome. And we're doing a show
right.
from today. And then you always screw up some weird terminology. So we're doing a show from today.
Yeah.
And we're glad that you listen and that you're listening.
Right.
Okay. From today. So we got a lot of excitement.
yeah, it's oozing
for us yeah. for today
yeah.
on today's show program. So I don't did I thank if I haven't thanked you for tuning into our today's show. It's not the Today Show, but today's
yeah,
show.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I want to thank you for doing that because we have a really exciting
program
show that we've planned for you the listener.
Yeah,
you know, for folks.
So that took from there to here is what 20 years?
Yeah. I guess. Let's see. Yeah. I could, 20 years, 20 years plus.
Good man.
So, I sort of figured out having something to say at the top where you didn't have to think about it.
Yeah.
And something to say at the end where you didn't have to think about
right.
it made it easier.
And that's where the beginning bit that we hear you do came from.
It took a while for that. But I used to, when I got into Love Lines, I'm crawling. Doctor is a board certified physician, Dick Smith specialist. I had to have something, to say. Like
yeah.
you need something set at the very beginning and something set at the very end. Otherwise, every opening
sure.
just sounds like what I just.
That's right,
like.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's a format. You created a format over 20. There it is.
Oh, I created.
Let me hear it again. Let's do it again, but break it slower down so I can really hear.
I created a. 18-second format at the beginning and a 7-second format at the end, and then
yeah.
the other 90 minutes is not like, really formatted.
Who knows what's going on, yeah.
Yes.
Let me hear Mandate again.
Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, yeah. get
See,
it on.
Now it almost sounds like a sexy soul song.
Thank you. Well, we got to get it on, man. All right, what are you working
on, Stromer?
Thank you.
I am just about out of the beautiful Malibu job, which almost burnt down from a homeless encampment below the public utility center right there.
Be careful how you talk about the heroes of this city.
Right?
These are heroes.
No, seriously.
These are heroes.
I talked to the fireman, and he said, you know, this is really all over the place, and it's hidden very effectively from everyone because – people kind of find the little off-ramp areas.
Right.
But the fire almost took Malibu out again. This was just last week. It came up the canyon. They stopped it, and then it was apparently a guy named Mr. Bizzle, you know, who threw his cigarette out after he had a rough night of homelessness.
Well, let me say this. First, this observation. When you say fireman, you sound like an adult. When you say fireman, you sound like a 7-year-old. What is that? What
yeah.
other thing where we go from plural to singular
yeah, yeah.
does we have to go back
fireman.
To the
fireman.
Second grade? Oh, we say fireman because we go, I spoke to the fireman.
Because I still
did
get
he
overwhelmed.
Give you a candy?
No, I get overwhelmed when the shiny red truck
did he
shows
let
up
you,
to this day.
Did he let you pet the Dalmatian?
He let me sit on his lap in the fire truck.
And pretend with the wheel.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, he was hurting a bit afterward.
Was he a kindly fireman?
He was a gentleman.
Yeah, gentleman yeah. now becomes See? Homoerotic See? Instead of gentleman. Interesting.
Yeah. It all
Running
comes
down.
See?
All right.
right.
So, yes, of course. Homeless.
But, right. I mean, seriously, this is kind of a difficult thing, isn't it?
Part and parcel of everything that's wrong with this city, which is if you would like to live in Malibu,
yeah.
you must pay millions of dollars. You must pay tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes. You must if you'd like to build in Malibu, you must deal with the Coastal Commission and pay more in permits and wait and more and wait.
And
you have to ask for permission.
And there's a new distinction in the real estate end of Malibu called a wet beach. Mm. Have you heard this one?
No.
Because the coastline is disappearing rapidly, just like they do Beverly Hills adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
They now say it's on a wet beach, meaning that there is no beach. It's simply waves crashing under your foundation as it's eroding from the ocean.
Well, if you'd like to forego all the millions of dollars and costs and property taxes and permits and everything like that, you can just move to Malibu, live in the hills, get drunk and fall asleep while you're smoking.
And have a cigarette can.
The city has no particular thoughts about that activity. They have many, many, many thoughts about you putting a deck on your house in Malibu.
That's right.
No particular thoughts and or judgment about junkies sleeping in the hills and falling asleep when they're smoking. And my point is this something you want more of? My feeling is I don't trust the city. I don't like the city. I don't like the council people. I don't trust any of them. I don't feel like they do a good job. And I feel like they do shit for the taxpayers.
Right.
And great if you're homeless or here illegally. And thus, I have no use for that.
Why you got out of Malibu? Because you had a place there, right?
I did. I got out of there because I never ended up getting out there. I didn't live there.
Yeah.
And I never got out there, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I'll tell you, there's one thing that the city does in Malibu very, very well, which is this. I lived on Point Doom.
Yeah.
And I didn't live down at the end. That's where Courtney Cox and company live. But I lived sort of middle-ish and a little closer to PCH. And I would walk down to the end. Now, my house was the last house you could park on the street in front
of. Yeah, I know exactly what
it is. And then beyond that, it was just no parking in front of that, no street parking.
Right.
And at the very end of Point Doom, where everyone wants to go hiking and go down the cliff and onto the beach and so on and so forth, there are about 10 or 12 choice parking spots.
Yeah.
And those are highly coveted.
That's the makeout spot, isn't it?
Well, it could be.
Yeah.
You play your cards right. The day is young.
There was heat. I felt it.
When you start talking about that wet coastline, I didn't know all the terminology you people use. But there's about, I don't know if it's a makeout spot. So it's coveted. And I'll tell you why it's coveted. Because people have their towels and their folding chairs and their boogie boards and everything.
Yeah.
And if you want to park in front of my old house, which is the last house, you got to walk about a half mile. I mean, it's a schlep with your cooler and everything else.
Yeah.
It's a schlep down to the end.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can park at the end, then it's easy. Get out of the car and walk down
Roll down that dune.
Right. But there are only about 10 or 12 parking spots.
Right.
And there's no parking around it, per se.
Right.
So those are very coveted, and as one could guess, on a Saturday with the sun shining, they're always full.
Yeah.
Now, there is a spot, there is a row on the other side of those, just adjacent to those parking spots, which is very tempting. It's just kind of sand in front of a fence, in front of a house.
Yeah.
It looks like, oh, this would be a fine place to park. It's not really on anyone's lawn. Doesn't seem to be obstructing anything or doing anything. So I shall park there. So people, out of desperation, park on the other side.
Yeah.
The Malibu Popo, you want to talk about Johnny on the spot in terms of handing out tickets to those guys?
Yeah.
Because they know anytime they show up, there's just going to be some guy who's got an Avis from Idaho who just went, oh, this is packed. And he sees this empty kind of sand lot on the other side and goes, oh, I'll park here.
Yeah.
They park there. They walk down to the beach and they come back and there's a ticket. Now, in terms of how the city works and how efficient they are, they're not great at rooting out homeless encampments.
Right. But.
But. They excel at giving people tickets who are just trying to enjoy the beach with their family.
That's
so
right.
I don't know what else you need to know about how government works. Homeless folks flopped all over the place and smoking up in the hills and starting fires. neither here nor there about that. There's not anything in their mind. What are you going to do? Go do something? You can't do anything. But taxpayers parking along the beach that they pay for with their taxes, that ain't going to happen.
That's no good.
That's no go. And every single time. Anyone listening, go try parking there and see if you make it 7 minutes. Because the sheriff is always there because he knows there are always going to be people
like
parking
shooting
there.
Fish in a barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I would argue, I don't know how much the ticket is, but it's probably exorbitant. But I would argue, in a weird way, it's just like an $82 parking space.
Right.
Like, because there is no parking anywhere else. All the other stuff is, again, get the cooler and get the boogie boards, and you're walking for a mile.
Yeah. And most people won't do it.
I got a, last time I was there, I brought a bicycle.
Yeah.
And, I got my, I parked in front of my old house and I pulled the bike, one of those folding bikes out of the trunk.
Yeah.
I had my daughter and her friend and a bunch of towels and coolers and stuff. And we all packed onto this bike like circus clowns. And we just took off for the beach. Yeah. That's when you see the dude.
Yeah.
At that point, that's got the motorized cooler scooter. You go, that
could
guy's
be
a goddamn genius. That guy, he just goes right on by, and you're like schlepping and dragging a folding chair and the towels come undone, and he just buzzes right by. I envy that guy. I could never
Things
be
are
that
right
guy,
with the world
I,
with that
I
guy.
I envy that guy.
Yeah, he's a smart man.
I don't know why I can't be that guy. Why can't I be that guy?
Because
I have access to coolers with motors and wheels and stuff, and I'm always the schlep guy.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we make a cooler that moves?
They have them.
Well, let's make a better one.
I'm not that guy.
You'll never
you know
be
what
that guy.
I blame my wife.
Oh, boy.
That's her job. She needs to do that part.
Poor Lynette.
Hey, I'm paying for everything, and I'm driving. I can't also be that guy. You know?
Yeah.
I'm the guy. We're the guy. Like we got the three beers that are sweating through the Trader Joe's bag and bust through the bottom. We're arguing. We're dragging the dog and dragging towels and drag. It's never. And then I see those people. They're so put together.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like they know.
Yeah.
They know how to do it.
I felt that way this morning because we were trying to complete the FAFSA financial aid form for not one but three schools for the three different kids I have.
Wow.
And it's insane amount of paperwork that I simply didn't know the answers to. So we panicked, shut down, and then put it off another day. Because I'm that guy. I'm not the guy that knows how to fill the forms
out easily. I can't do any of that. I can't do any of that. I'm trying to I spent this morning. You want to know the kind of difference how we're wired. I was not concerned about my kids. It was the cutoff date for the Monterey Rolex Historic Race in Laguna Seca.
Of course.
I got to get my car registered for that, and they need a...
And your son is, Father, play catch with me. You're like, screw you. We got to get this for
Right. I need my transponder number. Yeah. They won't register you if you don't have a transponder.
That's right.
You need a transponder.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thought. Some guys take their transponders... Most all the guys, they put them in the very front of their car.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to cross the
first,
line.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah.
But if you put it in the back of the car, it crossed the line last. But the way the transponder works is it's a timed lap.
Yeah.
You time your laps. Okay?
So it doesn't necessarily matter, though? No, wouldn't it still matter?
No, because if it's in the front, then it starts the clock earlier. Than if it's in the back. It's a weird,
this is physics.
It's a human wiring thing, which is I'm going to put this thing as far to the front of my car as possible, and no one puts them in the back, but the reality is in the back, in the middle of the front, it's all the same. It just starts the clock and ends the clock.
So the perception of two cars at the same time would not be relevant unless... They both had the transponders in the same place.
You could still beat that car if you were racing that car, but in terms of qualifying and getting your best time, the clock would start a tenth of a second later if it was in the back.
Right.
Okay.
All right. I got it.
Powerful stuff, man.
Big. That's almost like a Einstein lecture.
In range.
Jeez.
Range. A lot of range.
Like it.
Yeah.
Should we help people with home improvement questions?
Okay.
All right. Why not?
Dominic, 38, Los Angeles.
Get it on, guys.
Get it on, man.
I bought a house in Palm Desert as a rental property. I've rented it for the past couple months, and I had a couple questions for you guys on energy efficiency.
Okay.
I had a friend who rented it for a week in December, and he used the pool heater, and the bill for the heating bill, he didn't use the heater, just the pool heater. The heating bill was $250. That seems pretty high. And then in January, I've had somebody rent it for 3 weeks, and the bill was $400. And they both said they didn't use it the whole time. So
yeah.
I'm wondering, I guess a new heater costs a couple grand. I was wondering if it makes sense for me to buy a new heater or try and get this one looked at.
We're talking about your pool heater.
Yeah.
It's a gas heater. Yeah.
And what's the vintage on it? No, when was it put in? Year?
2000.
All right, so it's not old, but it's not new. I don't know, and I imagine there's some sort of efficiency ratings or something for those things. And, of course, you buy, you know, it's always that it's sort of pay me now or pay me later. You buy a more expensive right. one that's more efficient. You save money. Does the pool have a cover?
No.
I gotta tell you, the pool cover for me is the best decision I ever made. I have an electric pool cover. It keeps out a lot of dirt and leaves and stuff like that. But it also keeps in the heat pretty good and creates pretty good heat from the sun and a sort of a greenhouse vibe.
There's
you know?
No question. Now, there's a caveat to it.
Yes.
I have the pool cover that you manually put on.
Uh-huh.
And it is such a pain in the ass that it's almost not worth it. If you get the electric one like Adam has, great. It works fantastic. If you got to pull the thing on and off and the pool is irregularly shaped, it can be a total nightmare, but it does work.
I concur. What is the shape of the pool?
Well, I didn't even know there was such a thing as electric, so thank you. And it's one of those kind of funny shaped. It's like rectangle, but it's got a couple kind of ins and outs, so it wouldn't be a standard sort of thing there, although maybe an electric one might be able to fit it somehow.
If you could go completely over the pool deck with the electric one, it would be great.
Yeah, I'm not an expert. I just remember when I was building the pool, the guy said, "You want it?" And I said, "I think so." And he was sort of like, "Yeah, you can have it if you want it or don't, whatever." I wish he would have been more adamant about it because I was like, "Yeah, okay, I'll take it." And they build it in at the time, you know, obviously like any project, the best place to start is before you do it.
Yeah.
So, and the afterthought part is not fantastic, but I'll bet you there are a million varieties and somebody could make it work. And to me, that is one of those pay it now and really get the benefits of that down the road.
I agree.
And I would think of covering it more than I would think of a new heater.
Great. I have one other question.
Sure.
When it comes to windows, I have these single pane windows that the house was built in the 70s, and it looks like the windows, I don't know, it looks like they're from the 70s. And right now, it's probably not a major issue, but in the summer, if people are running it with air conditioning and stuff, I'm wondering if it would make sense for me to put the $7,000 or $8,000 into some new windows.
Yes.
Or just keep those.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
It makes a big difference. It makes a big difference with sound, man. Oh, my mm-hmm. God. I got this, like, Jeldwin or something, like the quiet. They have a quiet series where the glass on the inside and the glass on the outside is literally 3 inches apart. Like, it is big time. And they have a quiet series where you can, you know, open and close and crank and stuff like that. The difference between a single pane and that is unbelievable. Like, it really does work. So not only would I look into they do it all. Like, you can go down to Home Depot and just order that stuff up. And it's pretty straightforward. Like, you go there with all your rough opening sizes and sit down with the guy at the computer, and he orders it all up.
Right.
And, you know, it gives you about a 3-week lead time.
And you don't have to interrupt the exterior stucco. It can literally just pop in an old frame. They pull the old window out and then put the new frame inside that window.
No, I mean, the caveat is you got to be good about your measurements, but maybe somebody else comes by and does that.
Right.
And Also, if you do those things, like you go down to Home Depot and you catch them on a, you get a Home Depot card and you get 10% off your first purchase, right, or something like, yeah, that, and you go big with your windows.
You go big, you'll get a discount.
You
for
can
sure.
save some money.
Yeah. Okay. I would do the dual glaze for sure. That's a huge benefit to the house. It'll feel better and sound better.
Yeah.
Great.
All right, buddy.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, awesome. Man. I got to tell you, I know I've told you before, but that quiet rock, the sheetrock that's quiet, the quiet windows and all that in the master bedroom, it made a big difference. I really was thinking, is this going to do it or is it not going to do it? Or it's like, it'll help. But when the neighbor fires up the 55 Chevy in the driveway that goes by, I'm still going to hear that guy. No. Yeah. Yeah. No, man.
It's great, right?
It made a big difference. Yeah. Difference, a palpable difference.
And there's something
difference
about the bedroom, if you've got that dead sound in it, like a recording studio, it makes sleeping so much more effective, doesn't it? And a cool temperature. That's my pet peeve with my wife. She likes it hot. I like it cool.
Oh, my
cool
God.
Is so much
women,
better for sleeping.
I don't even know why know. Men and women live together. It's
how
so
do
in,
they do
so
it in
insane.
The cave?
Like Lynette will go, like, I like the ceiling fan on.
So do I.
That's my move,
oh
right?
Oh, my God. And I just had this fight last night about the ceiling
turn
fan.
Turn the ceiling fan on. And then she's like, I'm cold. And I go, good, then pull the blanket up over you, right, if you're cold. Then yeah, who cares? And she goes, my forehead's cold. And I thought, I think you could put a cigarette out on my forehead, and I don't think I would feel it. Like, I wouldn't wake up. Like, I don't right have nerve endings. Everyone, touch your forehead. Like, yeah, you really don't have nerve endings.
No.
Put your fingernail into your forehead.
I'm
like, it
digging,
doesn't really
I'm
hurt.
I'm digging
it
into my forehead. I feel nothing.
It does not hurt. Like, yeah, if you ever get a zit forehead, best place ever.
That's
man.
Right.
Go at it with the tongs.
Yeah.
Not forehead's cold. They should just have there should be like a chamber for women to sleep, or like a mummy bag,
it's a
or
mummy
something
bag
for them to zip, yeah, themselves into.
My wife wears socks that just go halfway up her feet. That don't cover her heels.
So her toes don't get
her
tough.
Toes don't get cold, but then the heel is exposed.
The problem
sleeping
with
sleeping socks.
The problem with the ceiling fan,
yeah,
is the ceiling fan is 40% of it is the cooling effect, but the other 60% is the general vibe.
The gentle breezes.
Right? You know,
the white noise yes,
and the breeze and everything
I
like
hear
that.
You, baby.
And the biggest problem is in the dog days of summer, you fire the thing up and there's no problem. All of a sudden, it starts to turn a little outside and it starts to get a little cooler outside and you are hooked on the noise, the breeze, yeah, the sound, yeah, the vibe, right? So your wife's going, all right, now shut the ceiling fan because it's cool outside. And you're like, that's my method.
How about
like
this forehead blanket?
How about a forehead blanket? You know what they
just
need?
Just a little Berber print forehead blanket,
I know what
right?
they need. They need the skull cap, like Donovan McNabb and a lot of black athletes would wear under their football
that's
helmets.
It.
The koofy that
that's
they wear the underneath their
a
football.
A sleeping cap.
It was literally like a weird, I don't know why only brothers used it. Maybe only the bald brothers used it. But under their football helmet, yeah, they would wear this.
And I don't know how they got the helmet off without the cap coming off. Remember that?
Like I think they'd have to recap.
I used to watch the,
they'd have to
I
do
would
a
watch,
recap.
I'd watch them pull it off and be amazed.
Yeah. Yeah, find me a picture of Donovan McNabb.
D. McNabb
in his it's very apropos of Philly going back to the
That's
Super
right.
Bowl.
Here we go.
All right, here we go. Simply Safe. I've worked with them since they had just 10 employees. Now they're protecting over 2 million people. Exciting news. They just released the brand new security system, the all new Simply Safe system. I talked to these guys. It's beautiful. It's amazing. I have it. The stuff is smaller. The sensors are smaller than ever before. It's completely rebuilt, redesigned. New safeguards against power outages, downed Wi-Fi, cut landlines, hammers, bats, you name it. It's the first security system I actually call beautiful. You guys need to check it out. You don't drill. You don't pull wires. You don't have weirdo ex-cons wandering around your house installing the system. They're the diciest dudes in the world. They really are, ironically. You still get the 24/7 protection, only $15 a month, and no lock-in contracts, but supplies are limited. Visit Simply Safe. There's two I's in there, simplysafe.com/M. That's simplysafe.com/M. So you're working. I'm designing a house.
Yeah, well, tell me about that. What's going on? Still zero envelope, no issues built at the factory, crated in? Yes?
Nah, kind of. I tell everyone the envelope is vegan, and I'm going vegetarian.
Okay, I got you.
So it's a little too hardcore, but I'm going super efficient. And there's McNabb. He's got his goofy on.
Now, that would be fine on Lynette.
Yeah.
Why not? We could do an opening on the top so she could have hair coming out a little bit.
Yeah, this would work. This would work.
This might even get your third and final baby going.
That's right. We could get it right. What's a koofy look like, Gary? So, working on the house, getting in, starting to think about demo.
Yeah. So wait. Yes. Back up. Where are you now? Have you demoed the original home that was on the lot, or are you in a house now that's being amended? What's happened? I don't get it.
I'm in a house now that I have done. Every room in the house has been redone by myself and my guys.
Okay.
And it is now a very livable, workable, comfortable environment, but not nearly acceptable to me. You know,
right.
Everyone else
your standards
doesn't
are different.
Know and didn't care, but no. I'd like to live in something special.
Sure.
So
now I saw your house in the Lake Hollywood house.
Yes.
Beautiful sort of Italian Tuscan
yes.
feel.
Yes.
Where are we now design wise?
Pure Guggenheim Museum, like 100% modern, 100% sort of progressive, brand new. Okay. We're looking at the koofy.
Okay, there's another koofy.
How do you spell that?
It is a koofy. You're right.
I saw both K-U-F-I, which I think is the right one, and C-O-O-F-I-E. But I think
okay.
it's K-U-F-I.
May I make it one?
Could either start following the NFL a little closer or convert to the Muslim religion.
Yep.
I think it'd be easier ceiling fan.
Could I ask you?
Is that a Muslim thing? Okay.
Could we do one show where we both wear kufis?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Maybe around the holiday season.
Now, I have one in the car, so I don't want to embarrass you because you probably have yours. Yours is on your nightstand.
Mine is on my nightstand, yeah.
So I want to go.
Mine has hair like from the halfway down.
Oh, yeah.
To give
you
me
got
that.
Like the. You got.
It's kind of a clown vibe.
No. I'll tell you what. It's clown, but it's also. I think it's. Nick Knack from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's exactly right.
Is that right?
That is exactly the image.
I'm pretending like I'm thinking because I don't want you guys to think I'm gay. So I'm pretending like, even though I could sing every song. I got to say, I think that guy showed up to do Loveline.
He did, really?
A million years ago. You want to talk about the biggest?
Did you ever go to a Rocky Horror
in the world?
Did you ever see the thing?
I saw it once in the theater, and there's a guy was singing the whole time behind me. And I was like, shut up, dude. I'm trying to watch this movie. And they're like, I didn't know what the rules were.
Right.
Wildly overrated. And this guy was the biggest English sack of douche I've ever, ever communicated with.
He was bad.
He was a douche of the highest order. Now, I want to build a very contemporary home.
Got it.
And I want it to be custom, like a suit that just fits.
Right.
And my daughter's deep into it, and I'm into it, and we're working with a world-class architect, and we're building something bespoke and special.
Now, question.
Mm-hmm.
How do you warm and cozy up the hard angles of the modern design style?
We're looking at this douche.
There he is, that guy.
He's English, right?
That's the koofy. What is it called?
Riff Raff.
What's the hair called?
Koofy? Tag along.
Knick knack.
Whatever. Douche.
That's the hair that's on my cap.
Sorry. What a douche. God, was that guy? I did 10,000 Loveline episodes. I don't even really remember most of them.
Yeah.
This guy, I remember being a colossal douche. I hope he's dead. Is he dead?
Looking.
It'd be nice.
I hope he's dead.
He's an asshole. We don't really need him.
Okay. All right.
Wherever he is, he's making somebody miserable.
He is.
75 years old and still alive.
Those guys always live too long.
95?
75.
75. Damn.
Looks like he might have moved to New Zealand, so that could be
good.
That could be good.
Wait a minute. Is there a further away place for me?
I think that's pretty good.
Okay. I don't want to like walk out of the studio and bump into him and have it be uncomfortable.
Oh, hey, man.
Sorry, Nick Nack. Odd job. What's his name again?
Riff Raff.
Douchebag. He's from England, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
The UK.
I'm just going to throw it out here, guys. We actually do have a video question from a guy in New Zealand.
No.
Wow.
Bring it.
No, if it's odd job.
What if it's him?
It's not.
Oh, my God.
Okay. You better check.
It might be odd job.
You mean odd job from Goldfinger?
Yeah.
Is he still around, that guy?
No.
Oh.
Morbidly obese Japanese guy.
But could throw a hat like nobody's business, am I right?
Don't see their 70th birthday.
He's also got a question about window panes that you will not believe.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Nick here from down the bottom of the world, New Zealand. Hey, what kind of house do you call this? You guys call it a ranch house or a craftsman? I've got no idea. Also, I got to paint these windows. What sort of prep and what sort of tools do I need to get this stuff straightened out?
Looking at window panes. All right.
Wow.
You know what? Those guys, they like their American muscle.
They sure do.
They like their V8 cars over there. That guy had like a 80s, 70s, had an 80s era Camaro parked in the driveway with some modifications made on the hood. There must be some big induction going on there. All right. We call that, it looked like a ranch style house.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you wanted to paint the windows? Is that what the question was?
The windows, the windowsill. Here's what I've noticed. I have noticed that what they've done with paints is they've removed everything that ever worked about paint.
Yeah. And then they try and get you with, but it's got a primer and a paint in one.
Yeah, See? Shampoo and conditioner. Yeah, We're looking at the guy's Camaro, and not only does he got the big blower, the hood, but look at the front tire. Look how skinny the front tire is.
Yeah, that's not going to do much,
and look how fat the back tire is. That thing's a total quarter mile
straight
car he's got over
straight.
There.
He lives his life a quarter mile at a time.
He does.
That's what I do.
Who does?
So, and Vin Diesel. So, okay. So here's the thing. I would say, first off, you can look. They have tests. Like, we took this board and we painted it with like Sears Easy Living and then Glidden Exterior Plus and Behr Premium Plus and whatever, Sinclair. And we took them and we did the age testing humidifier with the rain and the heat and whatever. And this simulates 10 years of use. We do it in the lab. And here's what they all looked like at the end of the 10 years trial. Or the simulated 10-year trial.
Right.
Usually, you find something at Home Depot, and it's $9.99 a gallon. It's got the primer included. Don't muss with that.
No.
And also, the expensive part about paint is the labor. It's not the 1 gallon.
35.
You think about it this way. If you're painting the trim, the sills around that ranch house in New Zealand, or even the whole window, the whole front of the house, you can do it with 1 gallon of paint.
True.
Okay. So, but it's a ton of labor.
Right.
But if the 1 gallon of paint is $47 and you decide to go with the one that's $18, what do you really save?
Yeah.
I mean, you save $30.
Yeah. Right.
But it's 2 weeks of you prepping and sanding and priming and painting and everything. So it's really just a very nominal part of the job.
Right.
And now, the one paint's going to last 4 years longer than the other paint, but you save $30.
Exactly.
Do the math.
And the better quality paint generally paints thicker on, so it feels a little different. But to me, go with the $35 to $50 a gallon. Don't go below that.
I agree. All right, we got another question
here.
And he wants to know how to do it. Everything's about prep. Prep it well, scuff it well, clean it well, prime it well.
Well, and cleaning is something that people never do. And, you know, TSP goes a million miles in terms of preparation. Sometimes you can get away with that.
Trisodium phosphate.
Yes.
Odd job, knick-knack.
There he is.
Yeah. And, yeah, and then riffraff, sorry. And then wipe it down with cheesecloth and all that kind of stuff. Like, really make it good. Hey, Brent, did I punch him up?
Hello, Adam.
Yeah, Brent, what's going on? 32, Seattle.
Thank you for taking my call. Do you mind if I give you a quick thank you first before I ask my question?
Sure.
Jeez, why not?
Sure.
Well, I just want to say thank you for always putting out just an amazing product. I've been listening to you for a number of years, and I actually took your advice and gave me motivation to actually start my own business here a couple of years ago. So I just want to say thank you very much for who you are and what you put out into the world.
Well, I like that, and I like making people laugh, but I'd prefer to motivate. I really would. And, hey, Brent, when we come, we're coming out to the Moore Theater in Seattle in September?
Yep.
In September, doing a live podcast. So get your tickets and come on out and say hi to us if you'd like. And then you go, hey, I'm Brent. Remember I called you a few months back about motivation? I'll go, there you go. And I'll take another hit off my beer. And that'll be our moment.
That's our moment.
Yeah. That'll be a moment. I'll do a finger. I'll do a finger gun thing.
Yeah, a wink.
A wink. There you go. Good for you. And I'll be reaching for my beer while we're
That's
talking.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
Looking at your phone.
Sorry, Brent. That'll be after the show for the picture line. All right. Sorry.
No problem.
I love you. What is your business?
Specifically, I started up my own DIY YouTube channel 2 years ago.
Ooh.
And it's nice that I'm getting monthly checks from YouTube now, and hopefully it becomes my full-time business.
Wow, videos.
So you know the DIY game.
Yes, sir.
Well,
I have a construction management degree, and I've been in the construction world for the past 10 years.
What is your most, you know, it's a weird thing about, I imagine, about DIY videos. But I'll liken it to take something like Jay Leno's Garage, where he features different cars all the time, right?
Right.
If on the website, not the TV show, which I was on a couple nights ago driving my Nissan, but I digress. The thing that's funny and sort of interesting, which is if you go to his website, you'll see like, hey, it's a Bugatti Veyron, and it got 529,000 views, you know, or it's Patrick Dempsey and his 550 Speedster Porsche, and it got 389,000 views. And then there's No Name Guy and his Datsun 510, and that 1.6 million views.
Right. Yeah.
And it's weird, so it's a little counterintuitive because I'm like, I'd rather look at a Bugatti Chiron or Veyron or whatever than a 510 Datsun, but then more people can afford a 510 Datsun or have a 510 Datsun than a Bugatti Veyron. So then I guess more people. But you tell me, Brent, what is your most popular subject in the DIY thing?
My most popular subject was a full yard renovation, from literally starting from weeds to full-on grass, and that entire process of actually how to completely do a makeover your entire backyard.
Okay, so
now you know I did like 300-400 3-minute videos for GMC on AOL years ago, and mm-hmm. my most popular video was like 3.5 million hits.
Wow!
To get stains out of carpet.
Oh yeah,
and I literally did everything. I did whole remodels. I did trim. I did whatever, but that was the one. Stains.
That's your 510.
Stains.
Everybody has carpet.
That's
everyone
right.
has a dog that yacked into it, or somebody knocked over a glass of wine.
That's right.
Uh huh. Can I tell you? Did I ever tell you my Kevin Nealon carpet stain story? We're going all the way back to Malibu. This show's
full
coming
circle.
Full circle.
Yeah,
but let me. I'll tell you that. Make me a reminder. Gary, Brent, you tell me your thing, and then I'll Stromer. Go ahead.
My question?
Yes.
So my question is that I have a concrete walkway, as in a few steps to my front door, and I'm trying to figure out whether or not I should be jackhammering it out or physically actually just prepping it properly and then putting some brick veneer and blue limestone or blue stone on top.
Oh, over the top of it. What kind of shape is it
right
in?
Over the top.
What kind of shape's it in?
It's in pretty good shape. It does need to be cleaned, obviously, but inevitably it's not breaking apart. It is
okay.
Pretty,
how's the elevation? You know, is it you're gonna have to step up? Are you gonna trip at the beginning of the walk? How's it meet the step that goes into the house? You know, is there an elevation issue?
I did send Ace on the House a Twitter picture. I don't know if you guys could bring that potentially up, but it does meet up perfectly with the walkway that's going towards it. It might be a bit high if on that first step, just because you're going to be adding potentially 2 inches to the top of that step if you're using 2-inch bluestone.
Yeah. When did you send that picture?
Gary's looking.
I just sent it approximately, I'd say, 5 minutes ago.
All right. Well, here's the thing, Brent. If the base is fine, I don't see any reason to jack it out, but you do want to definitely pressure wash it, and you definitely want to clean it and even kind of scuff it.
You mean to get the new surface to stick, like thin set to stick?
Yeah, we're looking at it. Yeah, it's got paint on it. It needs to be cleaned well.
Pressure wash
for
sure.
Pressure washed, yeah. And then you could and put some chemical in there to kind of etch it a little bit. And then clean it very well, dry it very well, make sure it's ready to go. And then I would use a good, you know, I don't know if it's a thin set or a mortar, but I would use something good, and I would definitely use like a, well, wouldn't hurt to use a notch trowel, right? Like a big notch.
Are you putting bluestone over it? Just thin set. The Verabond is the more expensive version of it. It'll stick because it already has an additive in it. As long as you get that old paint off and it's not going to come up, you'll be fine.
Thanks, Brent.
Perfect.
Love you, man. We'll
Thank
see you,
Adam.
We'll see
I really appreciate it.
We'll see you in September at the Moore.
Thank
All right.
you.
All right, so the story. Kevin Nealon.
The story is, I'll tell you this much. I really thought about it.
Yeah.
You have a house in Malibu.
Yeah.
And you throw a party.
Yeah.
Super easy to get people out to the party.
That's right.
You live in La Cañada, not so easy.
Not so much.
But you get people. So it was a bunch of celebrities showed up. Well, not a bunch of celebrities, ones I knew. It was an event. I think it was either a kid's birthday party or it was a charity. Could have been a charity event we were doing. But anyway, I had just got done putting white carpet in the master bedroom.
Oh.
And I said, I remember thinking, like it literally went down a day and a half earlier.
Right.
And I said, I don't want people trouncing through here or whatever. Sure. So like, I'll put a piece of tape over the door, you know, like no need to come in there.
Right.
I don't want people going there, knocking their drinks over, or trouncing with their dirty feet. It's brand new white carpet. After the party, we're cleaning up. And not only did I notice a red wine stain in my brand new white carpet, but it was 14 feet long. It's like, this is a stripe of red wine. Like, you took red wine and put it in a Boda bag.
It was coming out of their drink holster.
You just squeezed it, yeah, and just dragged it. It's like, getting rid of a red wine spot is hard. Getting rid of 18 feet, board feet, right. No, linear feet of red wine is almost impossible. It's just go all the way. It's like, on your knees. I was like, What happened? What kind of madman would do this?
And they broke through the tape.
They got through the tape, and they made a red wine stripe down my white carpet. And I'm like, how is this even possible? How could this happen? Who did this? What kind of diabolical madman? Some escaped Nazi war criminal. Like, who would do this? And I found out who it was. It was that asshole, Kevin Nealon. Such an asshole. He's just mean.
Did he have any explanation or what? What happened?
Yeah. I think they had like a newborn. I think his wife went in there probably to like nurse or something and get some privacy or something. They had a stroller. She like had a glass of red wine and like put the red wine in like the cup thing on the stroller. And when she was done nursing or done, you know, changing the diaper or whatever business she was doing, went to push the stroller away and just, it was like a road crew, like striping a highway.
God. And from that day forward, he shall be known as that asshole, Kevin Nealon.
He's an angry, bad, 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 bad man. He's a bad.
That's a five bad man.
He's a bad, angry man. I wish I could wish him into a cornfield.
But not the same as the English guy with the bad hair from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Is it that bad or different bad?
Douchebag?
Yeah.
No. No one's as bad as Riff Raff. Now, where were we? Geico. Love Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning. Pick up some milk. Whatever you got to do. Ruin my carpet with your stroller. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to go anywhere. Just go to Geico.com. It's Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Save that money. Go out and get yourself a brick veneer or some thinset or
anything you need to do.
Anything you need to do. Save that money with Geico.com. All right. Let's see. Kennedy Center, Washington, D.C. It's February 9th. That's me doing stand-up. Then Thunder Valley Casino, Sacramento. That's
still,
stand-up
your mom
as well.
And dad could give a rat's ass about that date, you would say?
Kennedy Center?
Yeah, they don't care.
Well, to be fair to them.
Do I need to talk to these people or is it just over?
I don't think they'll.
They don't care about me.
They don't care about you. I don't think they'll ever know. Yeah. I don't think they'll know about the Kennedy Center. I could tell them, but they don't. Okay. They'll just go, yeah.
Yeah, right. Whatever. Okay.
Where was I? Tuesday, February 27th, Phoenix Grand Canyon University. Me and Dennis Prager be up there.
Love him,
everyone,
by the way.
Love that guy. So much wisdom.
Learned so much from him.
Nothing better than Dennis Prager. Chassis Media, all the movies, base cable commentary, Cobra was on iTunes and all that. What do you got, Strummer?
I'm doing the same thing, man. I'm driving people to tournaments. That's my next two weeks. I just can't stop.
Driving
kids to play ball somewhere.
Yeah, driving the white shadow to play
some hoops.
You know
it. There it is, the Sienna, baby doll.
I'm talking about your kid.
Oh, the white. Oh, that's right. Okay.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.